I'm going to continue speaking to you from God's word, God's prophetic word to us about favor this year. God has spoken a word that is from Psalm 102, that now is the time, the set time has come for you, Lord, to show favor to your people. It's the set time, it's time for favor. And if you think about it, everyone in the Bible who was successful had the favor of God on their lives. You cannot fulfill your destiny in God, your calling, your assignment. And every person here and any person listening to the podcast, you need to know that there is an assignment, there's a destiny, that God created you for a particular purpose. And the only way that you can fulfill your God-given destiny is through God's favor, God's grace. And favor is such a wonderful thing, because it means that you and I get to receive so much blessing and good from God that we become distributors of blessing to many. So God wants to favor his people, not to just separate us out and just be a little club that enjoys favor, but he wants his people to be so favored and blessed by God that there is a distribution center in your life of the blessing and favor of God to those who don't yet know Jesus, to the whole world, to the people you work with, to your friends, that God's favor will flow. Because you've got to have favor to give it. You've got to receive it to give it. And so God wants us to receive his favor so that we can give it. And favor, this word, means special privileges that you are signed up in Christ for advantages that you didn't work for or you don't earn. It means to assist you. God is going to give you assistance. And if God assists you, it means you're going to be successful. He's going to regard you with kindness, even when you probably don't deserve it. Because that's the heart of God, that God is gracious and kind to us in Christ. Favor means to be lifted into blessing that you didn't actually work for. The word favor, another word for favor in the New Testament, is grace. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor to us in Christ Jesus. So God's favor is actually going to lift you into promotion this year. Promotion. Yeah, does anybody know what that means? It means coming into a position of influence. Now, the key with favor and with this message on favor is to think that it's because God loves you. It's because you didn't earn it, but he wants to give it. And it's also for the sake of many other people. It's not selfish, it's generous. And so he wants to cultivate in us a generous heart that doesn't keep all the blessings and the favor to ourselves, but use what God gives so that others can receive a blessing. And so this morning's message, really, I want to speak to you, and I think it's a really important message, how to grow in favor. How to grow in favor. You could see this little seed that begins, and in that seed is everything, as if everything that you need is already in you in Christ. But there's a growth that happens as we come up into the call and destiny of God, and all the way through we need the favor of God for our assignment. Do you see that? So as a plant grows up and develops, there's a growth to become all that God has called you to be. And favor on your life is to grow and increase. Tell your neighbor, favor on your life is to be a growing thing. It's to be an increasing thing. It's not supposed to be static. It's supposed to go on and on and on until you go to be with the Lord. And if you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to read something which I think is quite astounding about Jesus. I think a lot of what I read about Jesus is astounding and makes you stand in awe of him. But in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, okay, it says here about Jesus, and the child grew and became strong, And he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And actually, another translation says the favor of God was upon him. So there's this vision that we see of the life of Jesus Christ. When he was a boy, he grew, and as he grew, he became strong. And he became strong in favor with God and man. It actually says that God favored him. And in verse 51, it says of the same chapter, then he went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. I think that is another astounding scripture, that the Lord of heaven, that the Lord who made everything, became a child and became obedient to imperfect parents. Aren't you encouraged, parents? That Jesus' sort of earthly caretakers, Joseph and Mary, weren't perfect, because they were also born sinners like everyone and needed saving. But God chose them, and Jesus was obedient to his parents. He learned to be obedient. As he grew up, he was trained to obey God. Now, this is the perfect one. And it goes on to say, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. In verse 52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So, Jesus, the perfect one, grew in favor. So it meant that he had favor as a child. As we're born again, we're all born again into favor. But I believe favor can be a growing thing in our lives. And Jesus, although he was perfect, he proved that he was perfect in the way he lived. So in other words, he was obedient to his parents. That is something that is an inescapable thing in a godly home, a Christian home, that children learn to be obedient to their parents. It's vital for the training for their reigning. For their training for their future call and destiny. But Jesus learned to be obedient. As a young man, he trained in his father's business as a carpenter, so he became someone who listened and was taught how to become a carpenter. He was teachable. He actually understood a working life. He knew he had a boss. It was his father and his heavenly father. And he lived out a life of obedience that pleased God and man. And just being right, like some people just go to church and say, well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, which is a truth. But not living right is actually a reality gap. We should live out our righteousness in the way we live, with our relationships, with our working life, because I believe that we need to see the favor of God at work in the way we deal with everyday life, the way we live relationally, the things that we do, because we're living in obedience to God. And in that obedience, there's a growth and increase of favor. And so this morning, I believe God wants to, through his word, teach us how to grow in favor. It is time for God's favor, but I believe there is a need for us to see that we can grow in God's favor and see more and more of the privileges and advantages and blessing of God and be put into positions of influence. I believe that we as a church, that God is wanting to bring us into more influence. But with influence comes responsibility. Whenever you're increased or put into promotion, it essentially means there's a greater responsibility on your life to steward what you've been given correctly. And that's the whole key about God's favor. There's a principle in God's word. Can I have the next slide, please? The principle is to whoever is faithful with the little, more will be given. Jesus taught that with the parable of the talents. He taught it on a few occasions in different places in the Gospels. Jesus said, whoever is faithful with the little will be entrusted with more. So let's think of it in the easiest example, which is money, because we can easily quantify that. Whoever is faithful with £100 can become a millionaire. Whoever is faithful with the small, God will entrust more. Hello? Whoever is unfaithful with £100 can't be trusted with more. So whoever isn't a wise steward with £100, tithing, giving, honoring God with that small, can't be trusted with more. It works out in everything. Whoever's faithful with a small amount of people. I remember when I began in ministry, my ministry began actually looking after children, looking after small groups. Occasionally I was given one or two people to disciple as I was growing in the ministry. And I had to be found faithful with a few before God would entrust me with many. Because if you can't be found faithful with a few, then there's no increase. But God wants to increase the influence of every believer. And faithfulness is a key in the Word of God. We need to be faithful at work. I'm sure, and I've heard exciting testimonies around the church in the last few months about people being promoted or people being honored at work. And that honor is a result of them being faithful in what they've been asked to do by their boss. And the promotion really comes because they have proved themselves to be the best employee in the company. And if you're faithful in that little thing, you will. The favor of God will bring you in to more. Isn't that exciting? And if we as a church are faithful in what God gives us to do, He will entrust us with more. But if we're not faithful, it's like you wouldn't hand £100 to a kid who's going to go on a spender or a bender. You would trust, you only entrust things that are important to those people who can be trusted. And so faithfulness is a principle. And I believe that Jesus proved his faithfulness to do what was right as he grew up at work, in the family, in the home, in his relationships. And the favor of God increased. And as Pastor Andrea said earlier, the favor of God increased. And with that comes the favor of man on your life. So say to the person next to you, in God's mind, if you're found faithful, you will increase in favor. It's a big question, and I, you know, it's a test for all of us, including me. Am I being faithful with what I have? Because we always want to be faithful what we don't yet have. So we're always going for what we haven't yet got. But God tests us with what we have, rather than what we're going to get in the future. And it is a responsibility in whatever situation you're in to be found faithful. It's your responsibility to be a faithful believer and to honor God in every situation. I can't do it for you. And in fact, the Holy Spirit can't do it if you're not willing. But He will give you the grace if you're willing to just be faithful, and everything will increase in your life. Now, turn with me to Genesis, because we're going to look at a guy who was an unusual man of favor, but who actually went through the mill and went through a lot of hardship to enter into the dream or the favored position that God had destined him to have. And I believe that this man can encourage all of us today to go on and continue to be faithful where we are, living with that vision that God will increase his favor on our lives for promotion and future fruitfulness and greater influence. You're not called to be a little obscure believer. You're called to produce fruit and to produce ever-increasing fruit. And so this man, for me, is a great encouragement for us all, and his name is Joseph. And Joseph is in good company with those of us who might be in a place currently where we're saying, I can't see the favor of God. I don't know if anybody is here this morning who is in a difficult situation, going through a hard time, in a season where you're not seeing much favor. Joseph and you could be in good company. As you go through this story, you will realize he has got a lot to teach us about being called and being called to see increasing favor on his life, but the trouble that goes with it. How many of you know that trouble goes with favor? Whenever the favor of God's on your life, it's amazing how much the persecution increases. With increased favor comes increased persecution. Now, Joseph, the beginning of his story, we're not going to read it, but if you know anything about Joseph, he was a young lad, had many brothers, and he's the last son of his father, and he was his father's favorite. In fact, Joseph was favored as a child. And the favor on his life made his brothers jealous. And whenever the favor of God's on your life, you can provoke people without really wanting to, just because you're blessed. I've been not liked that much because I'm blessed. Some people, kind of, you can tell an attitude when we possess this building. The favor of God was on us to take this building for the glory of God. There was a little bit of an edge towards other from other believers because they're like, but it's favor, the favor of God. It's a gift. We didn't work for it. God gave it. And that's the call of God on our lives, is to live in his favor and his blessing. But Joseph was a very unwise young man. At 17, he basically had this dream from God that his brothers would bow down to him. But not only his brothers would come and bow at his feet. These are his older brothers. And you can imagine what that would do to provoke them to anger and hatred. Imagine speaking about your dream. Hey, everybody, all of you are just going to come down and bow at my feet. You'd be like, it would flesh would produce flesh in you. You would respond like, who do you think you are? So Joseph was doing a moment of pride in declaring the dream that God gave him. And he said, do you know what? It isn't only you that's going to bow down. The sun and the moon. I'm that special. I'm God's favorite. I've got the coat. I've got you bowing down. And I've got the sun and moon bowing down to me. I'm the business. And he had a dream, but he also had character defects, which you can pick out right at the beginning as a teenager. There was stuff in him that God needed him to kind of eliminate out of his life before he could be lifted into a position as prime minister of Egypt. Because the favor of God was on his life for prime minister. Now that's favor. He was picked out by God to be prime minister, to save his brothers from famine and to save the nation of Egypt from famine. So God was going to bless Joseph to be a blessing. The reason the favor of God was on his life, just like Abraham, just like Daniel, just like Esther, it was actually for others, so that we can be a blessing. They could be a blessing to many. Now in Genesis 39, we're going to look at Joseph's story, because Joseph was hated by his brothers, beaten up, thrown into a well, and eventually sold as a slave, taken down to Egypt. And verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. Sold a slave in a foreign land, taken away from his family, A slave has no rights, no privileges, is the least of the least, is the, you'll do what I tell you. But the Lord was with Joseph. So a situation that is terrible can be changed because God's with you. It doesn't matter what's going on. If the Lord is with you, everything will change. Because God's got a plan to bring you into a position of influence. In verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. There we have favor with God, favor with man. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted into his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Right, that's incredible. The favor on Joseph's life brought him into favor with his boss, and that favor brought blessing on that man's house. We're talking about God at work here, bringing about unusual blessing for Joseph. But verse 6 says that he left Joseph in care of everything he had, and with Joseph in charge, he didn't concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. So Joseph is in a foreign land. He's a slave. He has no rights. He's put into a position of menial tasks, where he has a master who's always telling him what to do. He has no free will. In that culture, if you're a slave, you don't have freedom of choice. You have to do what you're told. Now, Joseph made the quality decision to say, I'm here. I may as well put everything I've got into being here. And be the best servant this man's got. And so he decided, right from the outset, he wasn't going to bear grudges. He wasn't going to moan or complain about this awful situation he was in. But he was going to obey everything his master said. And everything that he was asked to do, he was going to do it to the best of his ability. Now, I believe as Christians, we should be like Joseph for whoever we work for. To be the best servant of the company, the boss. To be the best servant of anybody who leads us. Because in serving, we learn to be like Jesus. Jesus said, I haven't come to be served, but to serve. One of the biggest character issues in our lives as Christians is the test of service. Are we here this morning? Are you willing to serve, or are you only here to be served? That's the question, isn't it? Are you willing to serve? And serve in an obedient way. In other words, if your boss says, I want you to do this, you actually don't come back with, yeah, but I've got a better plan. I'll do it my way. Because that's not obedience. Obedience is, I'll do what you ask me to do. Jesus lived out his life in obedience to the Father. And he only did what he saw the Father do. Obedient servants are those who are promoted. And so we must learn to serve. God puts us in a place where sometimes we have harsh or difficult bosses. Has anybody in this room got a difficult boss? You can just indicate with your finger. Yeah, one or two of you. People that are harsh and are difficult. Do you know God's put you in there to bring out the good, which is Christ, in you out? to actually bring out a dimension of serving that actually will change the whole atmosphere of that company or office, so that the favor of God on your life will bring you into favor with man. It's such a test for you and me to live out a life of serving. And to understand that Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom are the servants. And some people, you know, and I could be like you too, we're willing to serve for a time, but then we say, I've had enough serving. Surely it's time for me to give up and be promoted. But the call on our lives is always going to be to serve. And always going to be in a right kind of attitude to authority. I believe one of the key messages of Joseph is he didn't kick against authority. He accepted he had a boss. He accepted he was under authority. He accepted he wasn't in that position, so it wasn't for him to comment. It was for him to obey and do what his boss asked him to do. And authority, all authority, Scripture says in Romans 13, is given by God. And whoever kicks against authority is actually kicking against God. And if you fight God, I think I know who will win. And God teaches us because you see, God doesn't promote rebels. To have a rebel with the favor of God, it doesn't work together. God promotes humble, obedient servants. And he is particularly concerned about this in his house, in his church. He is concerned that we all understand that we're all servants. Here to serve God and one another. Here to serve and take on menial tasks, because we're all called to build up the church and serve the body and be in a place to make sure that the church, the house, is blessed. And if you're an obedient servant, the house will be blessed. We had a phone call, and he's here this morning. I won't embarrass him. From a guy who rang up and said, I would like to serve and give up an afternoon or a morning, I can't remember which, of my time off to actually serve to help Jerry maintain this building. I mean, fantastic. But aren't we here for the benefit, all of us, of this work, God's work? Hello? We were so blessed. So blessed. It was like, now there is a servant who is willing to take up the responsibility, take up the load, and play their part in ensuring that the body of Christ can be built and grow in this place. Now, we have many servants in the house. And I believe many servants who know that there is an order and an authority in the body of Christ which can't be kicked against. I say that with all humility, but leadership is leadership. And that's God's way. God's way is always to work through leaders. And if we kick against, whether they're faith group leaders, mission leaders, your Fly, your Habitat, your Start Right, whatever, if we kick against that, it's actually kicking against the Lord, because the blessing and the favor of God comes through obedient servants. Amen. So this is the lesson, really, of how to grow in favor by allowing the Holy Spirit to train you to become an obedient servant. You know, when I grew up in Africa, in Zimbabwe, and the first 10 years of my life were in what now is to me a foreign country, but of course it was home to me then. It's all I ever knew. And my parents were pretty old school. If you know what I mean, they believed in discipline. I suppose they were biblical. Praise God. for biblical parents. They believe that because you love somebody, you discipline the kids. And when I moved to this country, my school friends thought my parents were harsh. I never did. I knew they loved me, but I also knew there was trouble if I was going to act up. And I actually pity and feel very sad about this generation that is lawless, that actually has no respect for teachers, no respect for parents, no respect for any order or authority, because I know that it's much harder for them to be used by God. Because anybody who kicks against authority isn't able to be used. And that's why I can only give thanks from this platform today. Both of my parents have gone to be with the Lord. Praise God. With the Lord. I praise God that they went biblically smacked me. Hallelujah. I'm going out there. I'm out there. Some people might persecute me for it, but I'm out there. Hello. I'm so grateful for the biblical tap. Not to harm, but to show that actually there is an authority. That actually I am being disciplined. There are boundaries. I'm so grateful. Because actually I know I'd find it much harder to obey God if I didn't obey my parents. And how obedience works out in life. Not just a spiritual concept. It works out in the workplace. God sees everything, doesn't he? Are you an obedient servant at work? Are you an obedient servant in the house of God? And these things, I really believe, how we're longing and we're believing for favor this year. But we must understand that character and favor go together. And the character God wants to develop in us through the Holy Spirit, but through real daily situations, is I'm here to serve. I don't have to kind of put my hat on when I'm looking spiritual. I just have a heart because God's trained me to serve and be a blessing and to do whatever God wants me to do at work, in the home, and in the church, and in whatever format that you find yourself in. You will be blessed if you recognize authority is put there by God. And if you will obey and live to bless that authority, you will be blessed. End of the first lesson. Was that a good lesson? I really believe doing life God's way and not sort of thinking that favor is just to promote all that's wrong in a person. God deals with us, and over the years we're on a journey where we are growing in grace and favor with God and man. And praise God, we have a hope and a future. Because of the Holy Spirit, we can be better servants in the future than we've been in the past. And we can grow in this attitude that I'm here to serve and to be an obedient servant of God in this place. Now, because Joseph was brilliant, he was put in charge, he was promoted, and I believe that everything that he did at work, he proved that he was worth promoting. Come on, church, let's be the best. Shall we be the best where we work, in our businesses? Let's be the best that we can be. But wherever there's promotion, the devil comes in to try and steal from that situation of influence you've been put in. And one of the biggest weapons the devil uses to do that is through tempting you to sin. So when you are promoted, it's like you're the bee's knees. Everybody's sort of starting to obey you when all you ever did was tell them be told what to do. Now you're kind of like, hey, you've got probably a little bit more money. And actually the test of promotion is actually harder to pass than the test of hard times. More people fail the test of promotion because they get independent spiritually, emotionally. They don't need God. They're self-sufficient. And they actually say, look what I've done to put me here. So pride starts to come up. But you can actually learn that in promotion, you can maintain your spiritual integrity. But what happened was Potiphar's wife put her eye on Joseph. And because Joseph was well-built, Scripture says, and handsome. And his wife, Potiphar's wife, took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Now, I'm talking out there. She's not saying, come, let's have a coffee. Although sometimes that's what it means. Hello. But this is another man's wife. And it actually says in Scripture, she actually pestered him every day to go to bed with her. Now, this is temptation, particularly for a man, I would say. Because most men have to rule their bodies to follow Jesus and live a disciplined life and a holy life. And this ongoing come to bed with me would break quite a few people whose kind of integrity was slightly flawed. But Joseph's integrity wasn't flawed. But this woman was desperate. And they're out there. Hello. They're out there to take your holiness. The devil's out there to get you to fall. Now, it might be with your expenses. He might want you to lie about your expenses. He might want you to be deceptive about something else. It may not be sex. It might be money. Or it might be power. But Satan is out to get you to compromise. And the message from Joseph is that he was a man of integrity who didn't compromise. And God promotes holy people. People who resist that temptation by the grace of God. It actually says that Joseph ran from her when she tried to grab him. He ran away. And I want to just emphasize, if you're being tempted at the moment to compromise and to sin, run. If you're being tempted to do something shady, a business deal that doesn't honor God, if you're tempted to compromise your vows with your husband or your wife, if you're being tempted as a single person, run. Get away from where the temptation is. I believe that is a key bit of wisdom from Joseph. Get out of there. Don't stay and say, let's talk, because there's more opportunity to fall if you hang around temptation. Amen. So the second message from Joseph is to be an honorable vessel of honor, really, a man of God who resists temptation and sin. Say to the person next to you, this is a test for me to pass, to not sin and compromise in my life. The interesting thing is, and sometimes this happens for you and me, when we do the right thing, something bad still happens. And you're like, a lot of immature Christians can start blaming God at that point. And you say, but I live for God. I did the right thing. I've been living set apart. And false accusation comes. And actually, Joseph is thrown in prison because he is accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife and he didn't touch her. False accusation comes. If the devil can't get you to sin, he will speak accusation against you. And so Joseph found himself in jail. But I'd rather be in jail and in integrity and favor with God. Hello. Than to be in compromise and sin with the devil in my life. Because whoever opens the door through sin allows the devil to come in. And so Joseph is in an even worse place, in jail. And he is in a place where you wouldn't want to be because, you know, the jails in that time, there was no TV. Joseph's jail didn't have a gym. Joseph's jail had rats and disease and horror all the way around. We're talking dungeon. Have you ever seen a movie about the jails and the dungeons of the past? It's actually much more in line with what Joseph would have suffered. So Joseph isn't in a place where actually he's having a bit of time out and enjoying TV and a few kind of privileges, always getting his three meals a day. It was a difficult jail, a tough place, and it was a false accusation that put him there. But yes, you can believe it. The favor of God was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph in the jail, it says, the scripture says. And Joseph began to prosper, but he began to use what he had in the jail. And God began to give him favor with the jailer. So in other words, he says, right, I'm back down, it seems, to the bottom rung of society again. But even though I'm back down, you can't keep a good man down. Or you can't keep a God man down. You can't keep a man or woman of God down. Hello? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God that is on our life that will work anywhere. Favor is more powerful than being put in jail. And so he said, right, I'm in this situation, I'm going to make the best of it. What an attitude. And this is another message from Joseph. His attitude is so different. In chapter 40, let's just read something about his attitude that I believe is important to grow in favor. We're just going to make 3 points this morning about favor. Obedient servants, people of no compromise, and this is the third point, his attitude. In Genesis chapter 40, it says that, we won't read the first bit, but actually the baker and the butler offended the king and were thrown into jail. I mean, I'm glad that we live in a slightly more gracious culture, that if you offend your boss, you're not thrown in jail. But they were thrown into jail with Joseph. And verse 6, in the night, the butler and the baker had a dream with a meaning which they didn't understand. And verse 6, it says, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? Right. Imagine coming to see you in jail or the dungeon and saying to you, what's up? Is there a problem? You mean you don't like the dungeon? Joseph noticed that their faces were sad and miserable. And Joseph, therefore, must have had a happy face. Joseph's attitude was, it doesn't matter where I am, God's presence can make a bad place good. So really we have no excuses. It doesn't matter what we're in. God's presence makes a bad place good. Tell your neighbor, it doesn't matter what you're in, God's presence makes your bad place good. You see, the butler and the baker, because of Joseph's atmosphere, he lived in an atmosphere of positivity. He lived with a thankful heart. He lived with the presence of God. He believed the favor of God was on his life, so it didn't matter what was happening now. The dream that he had would come to pass, and somehow God would put him in to what he had promised. And so his whole attitude was, guys, you may as well be happy. It's all going to be fine. And faith has an attitude. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. We live by faith and not by sight or experience or circumstances. If you have a promise, you have faith that the future is going to be different. If you have a dream or a vision from God, you have faith for something different. And you can't be dejected because there's a hope and a future. And so even if you're in a bad place, your face isn't sad. You're in a place where you're saying, okay, currently, I know we could talk about the rats. I know we could actually have endless discussions about the dungeon. But I don't know why we should, because it's going to produce nothing. Let's just talk about God and what He has promised us. And that His favor on our lives will bring us into every good thing that He has planned. So many Christians camp around negative. They camp around what's wrong, what's going wrong, who said what, who's doing what. They have endless conversations. Oh, you know that more. Oh, you know. And it's all a pull down. Joseph had an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice in the Lord always. In fact, I'm going to ask you to turn there because I believe we should read it and speak it. You know it, but I tell you, it's another thing to do it. 1 Thessalonians. I love to think of Joseph coming in. Morning, guys. It's going to be a good day. I mean, if you're in a dungeon, it's time you changed into morning. Going to have a great day. God's with me. Brilliant. All things are possible for him who believes. Let's have a good day. Let's not have a complaining, moaning day. I mean, be like Joseph at work. Morning, guys. Well, it's Monday. Starting work again. The boss is... I mean, isn't he terrible? Morning. No, we're here to make his life better. Come on, let's prosper the company. Let's really, you know, even if he wants to do us bad, let's do him good. Imagine that, turning everything around with the favor of God, with the right attitude. We need a few real witnesses of Jesus in the workplace. Turn around, that God will turn around everything because of your whole attitude to what you're in. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, you know it, but if you've got a Bible before you, and it might be a different translation, it doesn't matter, let's say it together. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. In all circumstances. Sold as a slave. In all circumstances. Falsely accused. In all circumstances. In a dungeon. In all circumstances. Rejoice. Give thanks. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God for you? To rejoice and give thanks. All ways. That means every day, every situation, every moment you feel down, you start to give thanks and rejoice. Because in that attitude, favor works. A little while later, and it didn't happen in Joseph's time because the dream never comes past in your time. Have you noticed? I had a dream when I was 27, when I was first saved. And gosh, I'd have thought it would have happened by now. I'm like, but it's never our time. And in the journey, God is working out this growing favor. That we're going from favor to favor to favor. And the exciting thing is, this is a year of favor. So there's going to be even more favor this year. There's going to be something special about the favor of God this year. Going to open doors. God's going to put you into a place you just wouldn't believe it. But let me tell you, it's only those who are actually in a position or ready to be promoted that can be promoted. And this attitude of thanksgiving and praise is so important. You know, misery and complaining, actually, you're kind of like damaging your favor. I don't want to damage my favor. I want to increase that favor. Do you want to increase the favor of God? Rejoice in the Lord always. Some of you are in a tough place, and it's not without compassion that I speak this morning. Some of the situations that happen to people, it breaks your heart. We were with some of them this week. But you know, God has a dream for you. And it's a great dream. God has got a promise for your future that actually you need to hang on to in the dungeons of life. But in those dungeons, it matters. It matters that you are an obedient, faithful servant. It matters, actually, that you live a life of no compromise. And it matters that you have an attitude of gratitude. Not long after, Joseph was picked out of a dungeon. And I love this with God. He can take you from the darkest place and put you into the position of prime minister. But the question is Joseph ready? From being a 17-year-old, jumped up, upstart, full of himself and what everybody was going to do for him, to being someone who'd learned to serve, because he was going to need to serve to be saving the nation from famine. He wasn't there for himself. Could God trust him with his moral integrity? Yes, because he was found faithful in Potiphar's house. He was found faithful in the dungeon. And if you're faithful with the small, you can be entrusted with a nation. Hello. And did he have a smile on his face before he was prime minister or after? He had a smile on his face when he was in jail. Now that is a man of God. That's the character of Jesus. And that is what God is saying, I'm going to promote. Shall we stand? Praise God.